Good morning. Thank you, Prague, for the introduction. If this is your first time here at Northgate, I want to welcome you to the family. If this is your 700th time, I want to welcome you again. I've only been here 3 weeks, and I'm telling you, this is a faith-filled family that you can get connected with, and you can grow in Christ. So I want to welcome you first off. I want to thank Prague again for the introduction, but I really want to introduce myself. That way you can get to know me better, and I can get to know you better as a church. For those of you who don't know, I'm not from California. I've only been here 3 weeks. I'm interning with the Brethren Church. I am actually from Ohio, Pennsylvania area. I grew up about an hour and a half south of Pittsburgh in a town of about 2,000 people. It was an old coal mining town. We had one stoplight, and it was a blinking red light. So it's a little different than Manteca, and I'm blessed to be here with you, and I'm blessed to grow in Christ together. So just a little bit about me. About 3 years ago, I moved out to school in Ohio, where Pastor Miles and Leanne are from. And so that's how I got connected to them and the Brethren Church. And I ended up here for an internship because I'm exploring a call to ministry, and I'm exploring a call to see what God has for me in my life. And I hope that as I bring this message today, it'll build you up. But another interesting fact about me, I'm engaged, and I'm going to be getting married here in March. So I'm excited to see what the next step in my journey looks like. Yeah, thank you. But God has a plan, and he has a plan for you too, and I'm looking forward to leaning into the person that holds my future here in the next couple months. But I'm seriously honored to be here and honored to bring the message. Like Prague said, Pastor Miles and Pastor Jesse are at a retreat this weekend, and so they asked me to bring the message, but I pray that we can continue to empower our church leaders and lift them up for all that they are doing in our lives and the community. They are doing great work for our kingdom and for the church here at Northgate. So continue to pray and lift them up. And we hope that they come back energized and to bring the kingdom here, because that's what we're about here at Northgate. So for those of you who are just joining us, the last couple weeks we have been diving into our values here at Northgate and our core values. So to give you really a pop quiz to our values, I want to first say that we here at Northgate and the leadership here say that values matter because they tell us as a church who we are as a people of faith, and we want to bring the kingdom of God here. So we want these core values to really be invested, and we want to dive into them. So for a pop quiz, what was the first one that Miles preached on last week? Worship and Word. It's up there. Good job. And so we said here at Northgate that worship and word is at the core of who we are as a people of faith. And without worship and word, we cannot have that core to trust and grow in God. So that's our first core value. And Miles gave a great sermon on that last week. You can pull up the podcast. It was a great message. What's the second core value here at Northgate? Being known. Good. And we believe that everybody deserves to have a faith-filled family where they can grow in a community, and a family that encourages them in their faith, and that they can empower others, right? What's the third core value here at Northgate? Inner self, good. That's what I am preaching on today, actually, but inner self matters because we need to grow and connect with our Creator who created us so that we can live a faith-filled life and empower others and pour out into others, right? And I'll get into that in a second. What's the fourth core value here at Northgate? Yeah, Transform 360, good. And we believe that just as Christ came and sacrificed his life for us, we are a changed people, and we are made new, and we believe that, and we are empowered in Christ and all that he is doing in our lives. So that's our fourth core value. And then what's our final core value here as a church? City-mindedness. And we believe here at Northgate that it's not just Sunday morning. We are called to empower our city and impact our city with the gospel and with the good news of Christ. So that's what we've been diving into. It's our value series, and we're on the really third one today in ourself. But before I get into that, I want to pray, and then we can open up. Lord, we lift you up, and we thank you for all that you were doing in the lives here at Northgate. And we just pray that in the little ways and big ways that we can find ways to glorify you and lift you up, and that we would always find time with you, and that we can be truly connected and to grow and to be transformed. And I ask that as I bring this message today, that we would be humbled as a people of faith, and that we could bring your kingdom here to this city. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, there are really three parts to inner self, and so I'm going to dive into all three of them. But first, we're looking at spiritual disciplines as a church. And for those of you who don't know what spiritual disciplines are, they're simply a routine or rhythm to help you get more connected with Jesus. It's the connection that matters, right? And in many ways, it's more of a natural rhythm and a natural routine in whichever way you look at it. So growing up, I loved playing sports. And one thing about sports is it takes practice, it takes time, and it takes discipline. So I remember growing up and playing basketball, you couldn't just pick up a basketball and be good at it. It took practice, it took commitment, and it took a lot of time that you had to invest in the basketball. I remember going to open gyms back in high school. I remember spending time as a kid dribbling the basketball around. And I can't say that I'm still good, but it takes time and it takes effort. And in the same way, I want to say this to you this morning, that spiritual disciplines take practice and effort to connect with God in however way you do it, right? Just like basketball. And I apologize to all the Golden State Warriors fans here today, but practice, right? Makes perfect. They'll get them next year, but anyway, up here I have a couple lists of spiritual disciplines, and I don't really intend to go through each spiritual discipline, but this is not an extensive list either, but I just want to give you seven here to look at this morning. There's prayer, there's fasting, there's meditation, there's journaling, there's solitude, there's stewardship, and self-examination. And like I said, I don't really want to define what each of these are. I want you to really dive into the Word and define them for yourself. But I want you to pray and find the one in your season of life that can help you connect more with God. But what I really want to tell you this morning is I want you to know why you are doing it, right? Spiritual disciplines are a habit, and they're a discipline, and it takes time. But the why you are doing it is so you can get more connected to the God who created you and loves you since the beginning of time. So as you look into these spiritual disciplines, I want you to pray into it, and I want you to start thinking now which ones you can lean into throughout your week. And what I want to encourage you today is, a couple weeks ago, we heard Miles give a sermon series on joy. And without a doubt, these spiritual disciplines help to not just foster a relationship of momentary happiness, but of joy, because our connection with God is long-term, and it's not just a one-time thing, it's a lifelong thing, right? So when we lean into these spiritual disciplines, we grow and we get connected. And what I want to encourage you today is to pick one of these and take 15 minutes out of your day to practice it, right? One thing that I hear all the time, being in college and even around the community and back home, is people are always saying how they're so busy, right? I don't have time to spend 15 minutes a day with God. But just the other day, I heard a fascinating fact that Americans today alone spend an hour and 30 minutes a day on social media. But we can't spend 15 minutes a day to get connected with God, who loves us more than anything in this world, and who wants to bring joy right here, right now. So what I want to encourage you is to not chase after the American dream, but to chase after what God has for you, and just spend those 15 minutes in the morning with Him in whatever spiritual discipline and in His Word, and I promise you, you will grow and you will feel more connected with God. There's this fascinating quote, if you're ever looking for a good read on spiritual disciplines, it's by Richard Foster. And Douglas Rumford, in this book, says that spiritual discipline is developing soul reflexes so that we know how to live. We discipline ourselves to develop soul memory in normal times so that we'll be equipped for times of high demand or crisis. Let me say that again. Spiritual discipline is developing soul reflexes so that we know how to live. We discipline ourselves to develop soul memory in normal times so that we'll be equipped for times of high demand or deep crisis. Right? We can't wait for times that we need God. We need to live into Him every day of our lives and let Him transform us. And like I said, all it takes is maybe 15 minutes a day, and I promise you, you will feel that joy and you will be able to empower others. That's what I encourage you with today, to stay connected. So this morning, When looking at spiritual disciplines, I'll give you a second to turn with me, if you want to Psalms 46. And the psalmist really has a good word for us this morning about trusting God and leaning into Him through spiritual disciplines in our daily life, whether it be prayer or solitude, or however you connect with Him in your discipline. The psalmist says here in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with the surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So what I really want you to do is to trust in Him and listen to what the psalmist is saying, that He has a power and He has authority. He has authority to transform your life, and He can do it just with 15 minutes a day. If you trust in Him, if you just get off the social media for 15 minutes, I promise He will transform you, or whatever distraction you have in your life. Spend time with Him. So as many of you might know, and I said earlier, I'm about to get married here in March. And one thing that happens is that when you're getting ready for marriage, you go through marriage counseling. And I'm reading books and getting ready for marriage counseling, but back in school, before I met Anna, my fiance now, I remember praying and leaning into what God had for me in the future. And I didn't expect to meet a girl, but I did. And it changed my life, and it forced me to be connected with her, but God first, right? It's the only way that connection can be formed. But just like in my relationship with Anna, and I'm sure many married people in this room, relationships take commitment. It takes communication, it takes budgeting, it takes date nights. And I don't want to say this because it might be hard for some of you, but sometimes it takes admitting you might be wrong, right? But it's a relationship. It takes commitment, and it takes growth, and it takes time to foster that relationship. So what I'm trying to say here is, just like in my relationship with Anna and many of you in your marriage, or maybe it's a close friendship, maybe even two, that relationship takes time to foster, and it takes time out of your day. But you have to lean into it, and you have to grow. And it takes time and effort. I want to keep reiterating that. But the payoff, if we do that with God and we spend time in a relationship with Him, is great, right? So really here at the core, when looking at the first part of inner self, Northgate, we as the people say that spiritual disciplines bring constant and consistent transformation to our lives in a relationship with God, so that we can be disciples of Christ who are empowered to impact the world with the gospel. Let me say that again. Spiritual disciplines bring constant and consistent transformation to our lives and connection with God, so that we can be disciples of Christ who are empowered to impact the world with the gospel. So, at the core, we need to lean into spiritual disciplines as a church so that we can impact our city and the world with the gospel. It starts with us. So the next part of inner self is that we as a church want to exercise your spiritual gifts and want you to use those. So when leaning into spiritual gifts, I want you to think of a gift that somebody got for you once, a gift that you love, a gift that you cherish, a gift that when somebody comes over, you always want to share it with them. And I want you to think about that for a second. At home, in my childhood home back in Pennsylvania, my parents had a plant that they've had since the day they've really been married. And so it sat in our living room, and every time somebody comes over, it's there. They have watered it, they have fostered it, and it's a beautiful plant. But every time we have guests over in our living room, that beauty is there. In the same way, in our house, we have a rocking chair. I don't know if it got gifted to us, but it's been there since the day I've been born. And my parents have fostered me. They have raised me in that chair, and they nurtured me since the day I was born in that same chair. That gift holds value to them, and it matters, and they want to share it with others. In the same way, when we look at spiritual gifts, I don't want you to get a gift and hide it from others, just like you would a valuable gift. Don't put it away. I want you to share it and let it impact your community. We must know that if we foster our spiritual disciplines, that they aren't for selfish gain, but they're to be shared. And I'm about to dive in here, but if you look at the slide right behind me, in Romans 12, Paul mentions just seven spiritual gifts, and this isn't an exhaustive list, but this is just seven that Paul talks about in Romans 12. He says that there is prophecy, there is serving, there is teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. These are just seven to be said from the Bible, but maybe you don't know what gift you hold, or maybe you're reading this and you're trying to figure it out, but I want you to listen to what Paul says here in Romans 12. And he says here in Romans 12, I'll give you a second to turn with me. But Paul says about spiritual gifts, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So, I'll be the first to admit, even hearing from Paul, I don't know what spiritual gift did I even hold, but is it leading? Is it prophesying? Is it teaching? I want you to ask yourself that same question and really ponder it. Last year in college, I tried to run a men's Bible study, and I taught for a short period of time, and I want to say I might have the gift of teaching, but I don't know yet, and I want God to foster that, and I want to lean into that, and I want to pray into that gift, right? Because it all comes from God at the core. But I promise you, you might know what gift you have. You might have gone here for a long time and you know what gift that God has given you, or you might be new to Christianity. But I promise you, if you figure out what gift you have and God will show it to you, use it to glorify Him and don't use it for selfish gain, right? Use it to glorify Him and don't use it for selfish gain. It takes baby steps. But I can tell you, I've only been in this church maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and I can point out gifts that different people in here have, right? Prague has taken me out multiple times. You have the gift of caring and hospitality, and you're a leader. And I heard you give announcements up here. You have a gift. Use it. I'm telling you. I heard Jason just last week give a talk at a brew pub. He can teach, and he's so good at it. And I just pray that he continues to lean into it because it's so good. And Lizzie has been running the barbecues and Family Fun Fridays, and she has been serving, and she has been leaning into God, and I pray that she will continue to do that, because it is empowering people. And just like you, I want you to figure out what gift you have and lean into that, and believe it. Keep being the church, and keep using your spiritual gifts, and don't just come here on Sunday morning with your gift, but use it Monday through Saturday out there. And use it to empower the kingdom, because that's what matters. I keep feeling like there are people in here, and this wasn't even scripted, that have a spiritual gift. I want you to use it and empower the kingdom and believe that He will use you, right? We all have a gift, and God created you for a purpose, and use it. Pray into a community and ask people what your gift is. And actually here at the church, if you talk to Pastor Miles or Pastor Jesse, they have a spiritual gifts assessment. If you want to just tap them once they're back next week, and they can help you through that, and they can help you figure out what gift you might have, right? But like I said, if you're just leaning into it or it's new to you, I want you to take baby steps. If you think it might be teaching or giving or mercy or leadership, take small steps into it and find a community that'll let you grow and nurture that. I'm so empowered here. I've only been interning here for 3 weeks, and they asked me to preach, and they are empowering me. It's a great testimony for them to trust me that much and to give me the opportunity to empower a leader. It's been a blessing. But baby steps, that's the big thing I want you to take away from this morning. So at the core, when looking at spiritual gifts, we, the church here in Northgate, and the people, and the community, and in the world, must foster our spiritual gifts and let them grow so others can experience love and joy that Christ has brought us. Let me say that one more time. We, the church here at Northgate, and I'll even add Monday through Saturday and even Sunday, the people, and the community, and in the world, must foster our spiritual gifts and let them grow so others can experience the love and joy that Christ has brought us. So last part, when looking at inner self, the church leadership here says that we must help you be growing in the fruits of the Spirit that are in you. In many ways, in this sermon series, the fruits of the Spirit, after you lean into disciplines and spiritual gifts, it's really the icing on the cake. If we trust in God, He will use us, and His Spirit will fill you to empower others. But I think before we dive into the fruits of the Spirit, we need to first know what is not from the Spirit, right? What is from culture and what is from the world and what temptations the world throws at us. So if you open to Galatians 5, and I'll give you a second again to get there, we'll read what Paul says is not from the Spirit first in this section called Life by the Spirit. Paul says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit." Listen to that. What is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. And he goes on to say, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." And he ends that verse again, and I'll repeat it, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So in many ways, what Paul is doing is he is giving us a clear warning of what is not from the Spirit, and we must guard our hearts. It honestly doesn't take much. If you just watch a movie or commercials on TV, culture is constantly trying to throw us what is not from the Spirit, and we must trust in God and believe in what He has for us and not lean into the works of the flesh or what culture is trying to throw at us in our day-to-day lives, right? So I think first, it's important to know what is not from the flesh, and then we can, or what is not from God, and then we can lean into what Paul is saying here with the fruits of the Spirit. So if you look at Galatians 5 again, Paul ends this thought, and it's beautiful. He says, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified with the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other." Right? This is beautiful. And I'll say it again. The fruits of the Spirit here are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's like a home run, people. I mean, that is amazing if we lean into God what he will do, and he will give us the love and joy that radiates, and we can share that with others in faith. It's empowering. So ending on inner self and on this last part of the fruits of the Spirit, we must not listen to what culture and what is not from God, but we must lean into God, because we must foster our fruits of the Spirit so we can radiate the love and joy and peace and forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to our world. For many of you who were here with us last week, Miles ended with an experiential, and I'm going to ask you to do the same today. Last week, we simply broke up into groups of maybe 4, 5, or 6, and we would ask ourselves a question. And for you this week, you can tell Miles, I am helping you with your homework. There's cards in the back that Prague has. The question of her inner self this month is this question that I have up here, and I want you to ask in your small groups this morning for maybe 5 minutes. And this question is to ask some others about their habits in spending time with Jesus. How do they do it? Maybe it's through their spiritual disciplines. Do they open the morning in the Word? Do they open in prayer? Do they open in worship, right? Whatever that looks like to them, I want you to dive in and ask them what that looks like, and maybe it's in their spiritual gifts, or maybe ways that God has used the fruits of the Spirit to impact others in their lives. So Daniel, he's going to throw on some worship music there in the back, and I want you just to talk to people around you and lean into a community and ask yourself this question. So.